City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Deb Pierce.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Don't you get a bubble? As you listen to them play, don't you get a glow? If you step out on the floor, you'll forget your trouble. If you go into your dance, you'll forget your woe. So come get together. Let the dance floor feel your leather. Step as lightly as a feather. Let yourself go.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast show number 376. I'm Amy Matheny in Chicago.
And happy summer. This is Deb Pierce in Toronto, Canada.
It's been so long since we've had a Canadian on the podcast.
I know. It's been a long time, eh?
Yeah, I've got you up in Canada that I hardly get to talk to, the lesbians in Canada, and I hardly get to talk to the mother-in-law, Mitchell Fain, who's in Alaska, and we can't get a signal. So I'm glad to have some of you from far and distant lands on the Queercast.
That's the whole thing about Windy City Queercast. We're like the United Nations of gay. Really what's happening there. That's what's going on there.
It's true. How is summer treating you?
It's been great. Last time I talked to you and everybody listening to the podcast, there was a recent development of my employment. Or lack thereof, as it seems. And there's things going on with me not working at that radio station anymore. But I've got to tell you, I picked a very, very good summer to be unemployed.
Yeah?
I have taken to my early retirement quite nicely. I'm golfing with retired ladies every Tuesday. And I've spent more time in my outdoor garden. My house has never been cleaner, brighter, and the plants have never been better kept. I have to tell you, to be honest, I have quite a bronze about me.
You have quite a bronze?
Yes, and I'm not tired all the time anymore. I'm outside all the time.
Yeah, the pasty days of Proud FM and now the bronze days of Free at Last, Free at Last.
Thank God Almighty. Yes, you've got that right. It's all kidding aside, losing a job and being wrongfully dismissed, it can be disheartening. And there are some developments going on with the lawsuit. But I have to say, for every door that closes, there's such honesty to that expression because the TV show that I mentioned the last time, for those of you who didn't listen to the podcast, I was offered a television show. I have now signed it, named it. And over Toronto Pride, I had 14,000 people before I introduced Cyndi Lauper saying, "You're watching Focus with Deb Pierce." A whole Queen's Park full of queers introducing my show for me on camera. So we'll be putting that in. Yep.
So when do you start airing?
Well, we're going to do 13 episodes in the fall. So we want to have a few in the can before the fall. We're going to start taping shortly. We just have to line up everybody. And I've got to be honest, there's such a plethora of incredible talent and people, unsung heroes in the queer community here in Toronto, that it's going to be so easy to highlight amazing people in the queer world here in Toronto. And not just at Church and Wellesley, which is, the equivalent of your gay community. They're people that you know, that are working in, you know, Habitat for Humanity. But they're queers and they're everywhere. And I do have a segment that I can tell your listeners now. I haven't spoken of it much, but I do have a segment called "In the Queer View Mirror, We're Closer Than You Think."
Mm.
So it's very exciting. It's a new direction, and I have to be honest, moving from radio to television has hit my vanity button, and I'm running about 10 kilometers, just over 6 miles a day, to try to get down to a weight that might be better for television than radio. So I'm training for a half marathon that's going to be on October 24th.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we have the big Chicago marathon people are here training for on 10-10-10. October 10th.
Oh, very nice.
Of 2010. So that is the big D-Day.
Great. That is awesome. It's really exciting. I know you're. We've talked about running. Running's not your sport as much as tennis is, but
no.
I've got the bug, and I am so addicted to it. When I don't run, and I have to take 2 days off to avoid injury, I didn't run yesterday. I'm not running today. Then I'll be doing 75 minutes or 12 kilometers tomorrow. So I'm pretty stoked about it all.
Oh my gosh. Well, as Annette Bening said in Postcards from the Edge, I'm in it for the endorphins.
Yes, that's right. There is something about the runner's high and the endorphins.
Yeah, the endorphins.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh my gosh. Well, congrats. I have no desire to run a marathon at this date, but perhaps one day that will change for me. I have no idea. I just think it's insanity, but the people who like to run love it, and
yep.
I get it. We have a big GLBT organization here, the Front Runners, Front Walkers, and they run and walk and are GLBT, and it's a big social thing, and I understand there's a social element to doing these competitions and runs,
yep.
And even though it's not my thing, I celebrate that it's now something you're a part of.
Well, and I did the Pride and Remembrance run here for Toronto Pride just at the end of June, and I did a personal best, shaved 5 minutes off my run.
Wow.
And then the Pride and Remembrance run organization awarded me with the Bill Graham Award, with a $500 allotted amount to any organization I wanted to give it to, because they feel that my place in the gay community and my enthusiasm around running and spreading the word about running embodies the Pride and Remembrance run. So I actually got an award with $500 bursary.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yep. And the $500, I'm going to allot it to ALS Ontario, because my father's just been diagnosed with ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease, and I felt like I wanted to make just a little difference in his world and the people afflicted and affected by this terrible, terrible disease. So
Yeah. Well,
lots of health stuff.
Yeah, lots of. I mean, you're changing your life over a summer.
Yep, I am. And, you know, to not be working, for people listening that aren't working right now and you're at home, you know, it might be 10 in the morning or 2 in the afternoon where generally you might be at work, don't lose faith, and don't lose faith in yourself. You know, something will come your way, something will come along again, and maybe even bigger and brighter. So don't lose faith.
Yeah, it's really hard times here. You know, so many people I know have been unemployed for so long. And I always say, well, enjoy the summer then, because you'll only be working again. Because that's the alternative, right? I mean, you're going to get a job, and eventually you'll have a job, and then that job will not allow you to be in the middle of your summer and getting bronze like you are, and running and cleaning your house and enjoying friends and being with your family and having, you know, spontaneous time with your partner. I, on the other hand, have been working two jobs. I, on the other hand, have been providing my civic duty on jury duty the entire month of July. And it has been a rare experience. That's what I can say. It's been a rare experience.
Now, you can't really talk about the case, can you?
I cannot talk about the case except to say I have been in it forever, that I am on a continuance right now, which is why I can record with you during the day.
right?
Which basically means I'm in a bit of a suspended state unless we hear that we are in mistrial, I guess. I'm that's my language. Nobody ever said that. I just feel right. like that may be where this is headed.
Sure.
But it has been a U.S. district, so a government criminal trial. And I was hanging out with all the bloggos, which you may not know what that means. But in Chicago, you know, our former governor, Rod Blagojevich, has been on trial.
Oh,
and so
yes.
I have been in the same building on the same floor as his courtroom trial. Which
Have you seen him in his hair?
Well, no, I've seen him in his hair many times before, but not during this, but have seen his jury. And what I have to say is they're wrapping theirs up. And when my trial is more complicated and difficult than the Blagojevich trial, you know, I was on a big trial. So,
It's difficult just to say his bloody name, I'll be honest with you.
That's why they say
Blago. I mean, if you can wrap your lips around that word, you're halfway there.
Yeah, it's true. Well, and it's just been walking into the Dirksen building every morning, and the cameras are all there. And in Chicago, it's huge news. And in the state of Illinois, it's huge news. And in the U.S., it's some news. And I would say in Canada, it's say what? Huh? Who?
Well, we see him on the news, and I watch Celebrity Apprentice, of course, so I'm not unfamiliar with him.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, then, so you know who he is, but so I have been in jury duty. Now, I have never been called for jury duty ever in all my years. You
and
have?
I never replied. Yeah, I never replied.
What do you mean you never replied?
I know it's my civic duty, but I never replied. It was happening when I was unable to do it, and because I was in media working on an FM station, I was able to not do it.
Oh, but you had to reply. You don't just not respond.
Oh, I didn't just ignore it completely.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I didn't reply with a yes, I should say.
Okay, well, we go to jail if we don't, you know, a reply. So that's why I was like, you replied, right? So I'm going to tell you, though, it's not Law and Order. It does not move that fast. But it's really interesting to be inside the system and see how it works. And see what is and isn't efficient about our U.S. judicial system, I gotta say. But, when I can talk about it, I will. I don't know when that will be, but, I've been working, you know, 8 to 5 with jury duty. And then whenever I get home, working Windy City Media, and thank God we were on the backside of Pride, but market days is fast approaching and lots of other things. So any of you who've been patient with my lack of correspondence, I greatly appreciate it because it's been a really, I've been really stretched for me. It's something else to add another, you know, 30 or 40 hours to your week that you already have. So,
and do they pay you a bit of a pittance for that kind of thing?
$40 a day.
Wow. That pays for parking and a coffee.
Yeah. Well, literally, I really can't complain because on my jury, there were only 2 or 3 of us out of the 14 who were living in the city of Chicago. And some people were traveling in, by train, you know, an hour away, like people who lived on the Illinois-Wisconsin border, you know, who were waking up at 4:30 to get to a trial, you know, to start at 9. So,
Yeah.
So they get paid for mileage, and you get paid for mileage and then $40 a day. So some people who had the traveling made out a little better just because of their time and effort, and they should be.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's
never know when that thing's done, though. You don't know where there's an end in sight. Certainly, you can't comment to that. But also, I mean, you're right. The wheels of justice. I think about my wrongful dismissal case. We haven't even touched the surface, and it's been two and a half months now.
Yeah.
So just even the backup of court times and dates is ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It is entirely true. Well, listen, I have to send a little shout out, though, because some of you have been so gracious as to actually listen to the podcast while I have been in my crazy state the past few weeks. And I actually have not talked about jury duty until now. But I did mention when I was hanging out with Steven Rader that there was a, we were, I don't know why we were talking about Donnie and Marie, but we were talking about Donnie and Marie and the variety shows. And I was talking about the Donnie and Marie Purple album, and somebody mailed me a Donnie and Marie Purple album. And I have to say that rocks. And I love listeners that found me a Donnie and Marie album. And I do have a record player. Kelly has one. So I think today, just to make me feel better about my continuance, I'm just going to go down and sing through the entire album.
And they called it Puppy Love.
That, I think that is on there, but that's like one of my least favorite Donnie and Marie songs. Is that your favorite Donnie song?
I don't think I have a favorite. If I had a favorite, I certainly wouldn't admit it in public. I don't know if I have the dolls with the purple socks and the purple satin outfits.
Yep.
I for sure I had all that.
Yep.
I can't say that I would have a favorite because I don't think I know what's another song that they
did. No, like Deep Purple. In my deep purple dreams. No.
No.
Under sleepy water streams. No. Did you know Come On, Marianne? No. See?
No.
That rhymes. Come on, Marianne. Say you can understand my Marianne. There you go.
Oh, yeah. No, I do know. I think I do. That was nicely done. I like that your spoken word interpretation of Donnie and Marie. Probably the first time that's ever been done.
Oh, probably.
Come on, Marianne.
probably. I got to tell you, it just really might make me happier today to just listen to it and dance around my house and pretend that I was 7 or 8 or however old I was when I was listening to it. Oh, my gosh. Hey, we've got a review. Richard Knight Jr.'s got a review of the new movie Inception. Chris Nolan's new film, who brought us The Dark Knight and also Memento. Many people are saying he's infused what's the best of both of those worlds into this new film with Leonardo DiCaprio, Inception. Richard Knight Jr., though, he'll give us his take on it as our movie queen. And also, what's going on in the news? There's some big news that I really want to talk about and definitely want to talk about with a Canadian. So we will... just to see how ass backwards sometimes the U.S., the greatest place in the world to live, can be. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Deg Pierce is on the show with us, the whole Queercast.
Hi there. I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
And I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
You know, most people know that Miller Lite tastes great, but up until now, only brewmasters like me knew why.
Well, most people know that my friends and I are the most dominating presence in the Kalamazoo Western Division Level 3 Softball League, but very few know why.
Huh. You see, we add the hops first for flavor, second for balance, and a third time to lock in the great Pilsner taste by enhancing the foamy head.
Yeah, well, we don't need fancy softball strategery to win.
We call it the triple hops brewing process.
Well, we call it heart, Mr. Man.
We're on the same team here. I thought you would appreciate this new information.
I apologize. I just wish I had something as important to share.
Well, buy a six-pack of Miller Lite and you will.
Miller Lite brewmasters have to know the ins and outs of triple hops brewing. The only thing you have to do is enjoy the great-tasting light beer. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
Charges were dropped against openly gay Lieutenant Dan Choi and Captain James Petrangelo regarding their protests at the White House in March and April. They had been charged with failing to obey police orders when they handcuffed themselves to the White House gates in order to protest Don't Ask, Don't Tell. However, Choi, an Army National Guard veteran, has been honorably discharged. The development happened almost a year and a half after he came out on national television to join the fight to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Choi called the discharge on July 22nd an infuriating and painful announcement.
In Mississippi, Itawamba County School District officials have agreed to a judgment regarding the case of Constance McMillan, the high school graduate who sued her school for canceling the prom instead of letting her attend with her girlfriend. McMillan had alleged that she was the victim of humiliation and harassment after parents, students, and school officials put on a fake prom for her and her girlfriend while the other classmates were at the actual private prom. School officials will implement a policy outlawing discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. The district will also pay McMillan $35,000 and cover her attorney's fees.
In California, the trial involving Brandon McInerney, the teenager accused of murdering 15-year-old gay classmate Lawrence King in 2008, has taken another turn as the defendant's attorney has asked for a new judge. Current judge Charles Campbell has already denied a request to postpone the trial. Although McInerney was only 14 when he allegedly shot King, he is being tried as an adult.
Will Cleveland host the 2014 Gay Games? The city sent a letter to the Cleveland Synergy Foundation stating that the Federation of Gay Games is ending Synergy's license agreement for Gay Games 2014 and stopping all funding. In losing its license, Synergy has no rights regarding the production of the games. Members of Synergy and the FGG are neither confirming nor denying that mediation is taking place.
Seven committed gay and lesbian couples filed a lawsuit against the state of Montana on July 22nd for not providing legal protections to same-sex couples and their families in violation of the state constitution's rights of privacy, dignity, and the pursuit of life's basic necessities and its guarantees of equal protection and due process. The lawsuit seeks an item such as the domestic partnership laws adopted by several other states to provide similar protections for committed same-sex couples.
In Texas, the family members of fallen firefighter Thomas Araguz II are trying to stop his widow from getting his benefits because she is transgender. Araguz was killed on duty while battling a blaze at a farm. The family has been granted a temporary restraining order to keep the firefighter's wife, Nikki, from receiving benefits until the court rules on the matter. Complicating the matter is that Thomas reportedly did not find out Nikki was born male until 2 months before his death, and he had allegedly moved out of their home after being told.
In Newark, New Jersey, a police officer gunned down Credit Union of Atlanta CEO DeFara Gaiman after the executive allegedly propositioned the cop in a gay cruising area known as Branch Brook Park. Prosecutor Robert Larino has said that the officer, age 29, claimed he fired the gun in self-defense. Garden State Equality and the Gender Rights Advocacy Association of New Jersey are demanding an investigation of the matter.
An analysis projects the total buying power of the U.S. LGBT adult population to be $743 billion this year, which is slightly less than earlier studies, primarily because of the status of the economy. However, the study stresses that buying power is not the same as affluence or wealth.
A same-sex couple is one of three sets of winners in KY's America's Top Couple contest. Full-page ads featured in prominent publications such as Entertainment Weekly will show Jeffrey and Rusty pictured together on a bed with details on how they met and what has kept them together for 7 years.
Jason Andrews, age 27, known to many Chicago partygoers as DJ Veritas, has made his first court appearance in Florida since being charged with first-degree murder for the slaying of a Tampa-area shop owner. Dennis Abramson was found covered in blood on his massage table the morning after a May 15th sex party at which Andrews' girlfriend, Amanda Logue, was hired to work. The report cites text messages between Logue and Andrews, who is bisexual, planning to kill the tattoo artist. Andrews and Logue allegedly stabbed Abramson, beat him with a sledgehammer, and stole $6,000 and credit cards.
The Gay Lesbian Index ranked the top 20 gay-friendliest cities in the U.S. San Francisco is not exactly news, but college towns Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Eugene, Oregon, mixed with cities such as Springfield, Massachusetts, Portland, Maine, and Columbus, Ohio, may be. Incidentally, Chicago did not make the list.
In world news, approximately 5.2 million people around the world were being treated for HIV at the end of last year. This is the largest increase in people accessing treatment in a single year. At the 18th International AIDS Conference in Vienna, Austria, in July, the World Health Organization called for earlier treatment for people with HIV.
The full United Nations Economic and Social Council voted in favor of a U.S.-led resolution to grant the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission consultative status. It is only the 10th organization working primarily for LGBT rights to gain such status at the UN.
Argentinian President Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner signed South America's first same-sex marriage bill, making it law. Hundreds of pro-gay individuals stood outside Buenos Aires' Casa Rosada to show their support for the bill, which the legislature passed on July 15th.
In Australia, soccer player Jason Ackermanis, who said that gay athletes should stay in the closet, has been kicked off his Western Bulldogs team.
Gunmen burst into a birthday party at a hotel in Torreon, Mexico on July 18th, blocked the doors, and killed 17 men and women. The invitation to the party was sent via Facebook by a gay rights group. The page invited everyone to the event, regardless of sexual orientation. The fact raised speculation that the killings were anti-gay crimes. However, some feel that drug traffickers were the killers. Authorities recovered more than 120 spent shells.
In Syria, authorities have released more than 25 men who had been in custody for attending and or organizing private gay parties. Officials reportedly released the men after more than 3 months because they were embarrassed with the attention the case was getting.
In entertainment news, the Melissa Etheridge, Tammy Lynn Michaels split is becoming increasingly bitter. Etheridge, who is 49, has now accused Michaels, who's 35, of using their twins as pawns. Etheridge is claiming that Michaels tricked her, having the singer think that she was meeting her own kids when she was actually served with court papers. Michaels has said that she does not understand why Etheridge cannot provide spousal support, considering the singer allegedly makes at least $600,000 per month.
It's now Lady Gaga versus Reverend Fred Phelps in his anti-gay Westboro Baptist Church. Church members picketed her concert in St. Louis, carrying signs reading, "God hates Lady Gaga." The singer tweeted, "Love and hate met in St. Louis. Love outnumbered the hate in poetic thousands. Hate left, but love stayed. Plus, together we sang."
CBS has greenlit a TV talk show that lesbian actress Sarah Gilbert, the early show's Julie Chen, actress Holly Robinson-Pete, Sharon Osbourne, Hairspray's Marissa Jarrett Winoker, and actress Leah Remini will co-host. Gilbert, best known as Darlene on the TV show Roseanne, will also be an executive producer. The show will take on pop culture and news events from a mother's point of view.
Colorful Oscar-nominated actor Mickey Rourke may star in a movie about openly gay British rugby player Gareth Thomas. Rourke, age 57, and Thomas, 35, recently met for dinner, and their managers are trying to work out a deal.
Entertainer Kathy Griffin went to the gay New York bar Boxers NYC on July 20th to watch her show My Life on the D-List with the patrons. This particular episode showed Griffin undergoing a pap smear by the side of a pool in an effort to draw attention to cancer. She later tweeted, "Okay, so I go to a gay bar in NYC, Boxers, to see D-List, and a guy says, 'My mom died of cervical cancer.' She would have laughed and cheered at you tonight."
Openly gay Broadway hunk Nick Adams, age 27, has snagged the lead in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, the musical, playing the Adam Felicia part, who is fixated on ABBA. The stage musical adaptation of the 1994 movie with Guy Pearce in Adams' role will make its North American premiere in Toronto this fall with a Broadway debut in spring of 2011.
Dustin Lance Black, the openly gay screenwriter who won an Oscar for his work on Milk, will pen the adaptation of the life of Colton Harris Moore, the 19-year-old so-called barefoot bandit. Harris Moore, a 6'5" former fugitive from Washington State, is suspected in stealing at least 5 small aircraft and in committing burglary at least 100 private residences throughout the United States and Canada. Black is currently in pre-production on Clint Eastwood's next film, Hoover, about the closeted FBI director J. Edgar Hoover, to be portrayed by Leonardo DiCaprio. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr. and here's your Night at the Movies Mega Minute. Follow-up to Christopher Nolan's 2008 summer hit, The Dark Knight, Inception is the epic-sized action blockbuster that would seem to have everything going for it. It's visually dazzling, stuffed with great action sequences, enacted by a gorgeous cast headed by Leonardo DiCaprio, that includes queer audience faves Ellen Page and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And it's not a sequel, with a premise that's far from the standard-issue action blockbuster. So far, so good. But the reality isn't quite as enervating as one would hope. To begin with, Nolan's propensity for gimmicky, unnecessarily complicated stories, witness Memento as Exhibit A, wraps his audience in so many layers that eventually even his characters on screen cry, "Uncle." Second, if I see one more movie with a subplot that focuses on DiCaprio's character in emotional freefall due to guilt over the death of his wife, this year's Shutter Island, Revolution Road, etc., 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 I'm going to have nightmares myself. Third, the picture's too long. In this futuristic thriller, dream manipulation has become possible. DiCaprio plays Cobb, who leads a crack team of operatives into the dreams of wealthy clients and their targets to unearth subconscious secrets. Talk about our concept. A wealthy businessman pays DiCaprio and his team, including Page as the dream architect, to pull off an intricate job that involves, quote-unquote, inception, or planting an idea in someone's head. This will require many, many layers of dreams, and to complicate things, these dream invaders will have to fight off dream security people. And more than that, DiCaprio's surly late wife, played by Marion Cotillard, is inside the dreams too, adding another level to the thick-as-molasses proceedings. By that point, the movie's become so dense with the pretzel logic that Nolan has conjured up that when Page exclaims, "Wait a minute, whose subconscious are we going into?" you can't help but laugh in relief. If the characters on screen are confused, imagine how the audience felt. Nolan is so in love with his convoluted concept, he lets his movie go on for close to 3 hours. At 2 hours, the density to be found in Inception would have been much more welcoming. But at this running time, well, it's like a dream that goes on too long, kind of like this review. One awakens with a bit of a movie hangover, remembering slivers of pleasure and the feeling that a lot of stuff has happened, but virtually no recall of what it was. I'm Richard Dyke Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Mega Minute.
Hi, this is Patrick Bristow, and you are listening to the Windy City Queercast. What do you think of that?
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of July 26th, 2010, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
The new play, Fucking Men, observes the lives of 10 gay men from all walks of life as they negotiate the before and after of lust, love, and the pursuit of sex and emotional connection. Now extended through August 8th at the Theater Building, visit fmenchicago.com. That's fmenchicago.com for tickets and information.
Based on the acclaimed novel by Timothy Findley, Broadway writers Neil Bartram, Brian Hill, and the American Music Theater Project at Northwestern present Not Wanted on the Voyage. Don't miss this darkly funny musical that reimagines the Great Flood. An epic production, complete with rain, fire, magic, and a score from an award-winning creative team. Tickets at notwantedonthevoyage.com, playing now through August 8th at Northwestern's Ethel M. Barber Theater.
Piven Theater presents the Chicago premiere of Sarah Rule's Late, a Cowboy Song. Late is the story of one woman's search to find true love after she meets a female cowboy in the outskirts of Pittsburgh. Playing now through August 29th at the Piven Theater. Visit piventheater.org for tickets and information.
And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueercast.com.
I only know what I know. The passing years will show. You've kept my love so young, so new.
So, Deb, last week, Lieutenant Dan Choi was dishonorably discharged from the U.S. military, and he had stood out and has continued. I mean, even after he was discharged, like 3 days later, the man was chaining himself again to some building in protest of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And it's really interesting because last week's Queer Cast, I did the story about the fact that there is this survey that has gone out to 200,000 active soldiers in the U.S. military, asking them what they think about repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And then also like 200,000 non-active duty men and women of the military, asking them what they think about it. And what has come out now is this conversation where we thought, oh my gosh, this is really at least new that they are going and talking to the troops and, you know, not making these decisions on a hill, on Capitol Hill and behind closed doors. And they're really going into the military and seeing what these men and women think. And what we, some of the articles and television shows have highlighted in the past week that that this isn't the first time that they have surveyed, so to speak, the U.S. military on certain things, and that it was done for our to integrate our military with African American at the time men as well. Have you heard about this?
I've been obviously following Dan Choi. I don't know the specifics of that.
Well, what's really, really fascinating is that, you know, we have just been, or I, let me just say, I have been saying that Obama could just end this with a swift signing of a repeal. He has the power. We are at war. No reason that he could not repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Now, in Canada, your GLBT people or your gay and lesbian people serve openly, correct?
Absolutely.
And do you remember that being a real moment in time, or
you know, anytime sexual orientation comes to the forefront, whether it be through civil union, same-sex rights, sexual orientation, and military service, there is, you know, there's a huge, huge discussion around it. But we ruled that Canadian militaries can't bar homosexuals from performing in the military. That's just how it worked. They just homosexuals in the military, there's policies and practices that are, you know, that are fine, and it's been since the 80s, 90s.
Yeah. Well, here's what's crazy is that for all those people who say, well, you know, Obama can't do this right now, and I'm putting pressure on our president. I'm done with this. This topic should not be eating up our debate or conversation. We have bigger fish to fry, and they should he should just do the right thing. And for all those people who say, well, you know, he needs to do the survey and he needs to, you know, wait a while and get the acceptance of, I say that's crap. And here's why, because some of the editorial content that I've been able to look at has said that, you know, Truman as a president integrated the U.S. military, and he signed that, you know, and passed that there would be full racial integration in the military. Now, they did send out a survey around this time, but Truman still signed it, you know, and integrated, because if he had gone with the surveys and some of the results, it would have never happened. Now, at that time, this is 1948. So this is,
A couple years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this was 6 years before the bus boycotts. This is 15 years before Martin Luther King stood in D.C. on the steps and did the I Have a Dream speech. This is 15 years before that. So this is before the civil rights movement. We're deeply in. And at the same time in 1948, you know, probably more than 20 states of the in the U.S., it was illegal for integrated marriage. You could not. It was illegal, and enforceable. So, so in that moment, he signed this. But at that same time, when they did this survey, only 7% of those in the military were in favor, that were active duty, were in favor of integrating the military, even if they didn't have to eat and sleep with black soldiers. So if we waited for the military to truly be ready, we wouldn't be ready, although I don't think it's going to be 7%. Their information that they get back. And if we wait for moments like boycotts and seminal moments in our U.S. history, like the I Have a Dream speech, we'll be waiting for, you know, decades. So
what I find very interesting is that Dan Choi is the first person to be tackling this. When I think about the people that have been dishonorably discharged, I dated a first lieutenant in the U.S. Air Force for years, and she was out to all of her coworkers. She was studying at the time, because, of course, you get 4 years of education with your 4 years of service. And she was totally, everything was fine. They literally, you know, when they met me, they didn't have to ask, or I was living there for months at a time in North Carolina with her roommate, who was a straight identified male, who had no problem with it, to say the least. He was fine with it. So when you really talk about... you know, when you think about those soldiers going off to, and I put this word in quotes, war, they're in their early 20s. There is a sense of progression around sexuality in the world. I don't care where you are, if you're up in Buffalo, New York, or if you're in Mississippi, if you, I don't care where you are in the world, there is an acceptance, and I hate that word, tolerance and acceptance, but there is an awareness and an education now around sexuality that the old white guys in the military should not be commenting on, because that is not where the progress has come from. It's come from the progress of young people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I do.
It's not in keeping now, I would say, with what the world thinks.
Yeah,
and it takes a Dan Choi. It takes a mover and a shaker, you know, a 28, 29-year-old to come there and challenge the don't ask, don't tell policy, which I have to say, Clinton, very disappointing that that was in his administration.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think it's been one of the major, I mean, well, so many blemishes on his time, DOMA and don't ask, don't tell. But, you know, but it's interesting that you say, I mean, we've heard that there are a lot of active duty soldiers who people know are gay and it's not a big deal. Well, this came out this week that gay and lesbian service members are trying to organize themselves to help the Pentagon with whatever transition will happen. And it's a group called OutServe, and you can get information on them at outserve.org. And they want to help the transition. And they, you know, they say that they have already got an underground network of troops, of people, active duty individuals that can, help in the transition, of integrating, the military, and really they don't have to integrate it because they're already there. It's different.
Yeah, they're already there. They just aren't allowed to. And you know what's interesting is, and I hate to point fingers at the military, because there are people that are listening to the podcast potentially that understand it more than I do, that support this, and I put it in quotes again, war, more than I do. But I have to tell you, the military doesn't necessarily look after its own even when you're in there. I have seen more 2020 programs and Primetime Live and Nightline and stuff on the military. You know, people have served their time, they're honorably discharged, they've got whatever, you know, medals, and they're living out of their cars.
Yeah.
So when you think about the military and priorities, I don't think that they've got anything, you know, anything right. And it should be no surprise that sexuality is, you know, not on the list of acceptance.
Yeah. Well, and I think that the military is a mirror of society in many ways. So we wouldn't expect the military to do better what we don't do as civilians in every arena. And so for me, you know, we as a people, as a humanity, or even if we just take that down to the microcosm of the U.S., we have a much bigger effort to be taken to take care of our own, and we don't do that well. But you know what? What is heartening, I think, what is positive, is that we're not the first people trying to do this, so right. We can follow people who have lifted their bans,
like Romania. I mean, right. Let's just, like, not to be judgmental, but when you think, you know, the Romanian army is okay with it, really?
Yeah, yeah.
And you call the U.S. the greatest place to live, and that's I'm proud of you for thinking that. But then when you think about the inclusion of your world in your world, it's not really up to par with a lot of other places.
Yeah.
So as it's a superpower, true. You have to lead and by example and acceptance. And as much, again, as I hate that word, it's important to show the rest of the world.
Yeah. Well, Argentina with same-sex marriage. I mean, we are really behind the curve, but we do have... or behind the curve, not the curb. We could be behind the curb, too.
we might just want to kick Obama to the curb for a minute and then have him come back when he's got his head straight.
Exactly. So but we have, you know, we have countries like Great Britain and the Netherlands and Sweden and others where they have lifted the gay bans on troops. And, you know, we can look to people and learn how to do this well, even if we do think we are... you know, the largest military.
The bottom line is that the military, not unlike a lot of government organizations, but the military specifically, there is an element of godliness to it. Not maybe my God, not maybe your God, but there is an element of Christianity to that, and people can hide behind their religion when their organization, like the military, has that element into it.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I think this is one area where it's about religion. I really think that this is where it's about otherness. And I think it's about all of the sexual issues. And I don't quite understand. It is actually one place that I disagree with you. I think it's the one arena where it's less about God and more just about, is he going to try to diddle me in the shower? And it becomes so little boyish that I don't even understand it.
It is very strange. And there is a pedophilic element to what they think is going to be happening, as opposed to adults and consent and sex and sexuality and physical behavior before serving your country, which is, you know, I'll be honest, if you're a queer identified person and you're still entering the military, you love your country and you want to be serving and protecting it before you want getting off.
Yeah. Well, and in the same case, not that I think that there should be classifications, but, you know, the people that they have dishonorably discharged, the people that they've discharged have been interpreters and people who are not on boats with, you know, in close quarters.
Yep.
So
yep.
It maybe that is where your statement of it's about God and religion and Christianity, but I don't really think it is. I just think it's about otherness and machoism. And I don't think that that's the only thing that makes our military mighty. And there's an intelligence and subtlety and discretion and strategy and all different kind of things that make our military great and function. And they don't have anything to do with just macho.
Yep.
And a lot of the gay soldiers I know are super macho. So not that you couldn't be that, but
well,
it's interesting.
If I'm hurting, you know, if something's happened to me physically, I've been shot or something, I want a big, strong, butch lesbian to pull me to safety.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? You know what I mean?
It's true.
Who do I want? I want Big Bertha to come down and get me.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And if, you know, the way that they are... you know, soldiers are professional and that they are soldiers first. So to even say they are sexual men first is not where they put themselves, men or women. Yeah. I mean, they put their service, their work first. And
well, in a lot of people, I mean, in the military, there is, I can say that here. And I can also say that from the person that I dated in the States, there is a family tradition of military. So when you're born into a family that's military and then you actually identify as being queer, that military stuff comes first and your sexuality is secondary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's like this family tradition of, you know, uncle, father, grandfather, grandfather, father, grandmother, whatever, somebody serving. You're born into this family before you're identified sexually. So sexuality wise.
Yeah. Well, and once again, like, who are we to deny somebody who wants to serve and protect?
I'm not doing it.
If you want to do it, then, you know, Godspeed and or not Godspeed. If you don't believe in God, like, whatever, you know.
Yep.
Lots of love to you and lots of respect if that's what you want to do. And we need to get out of the way.
Well, my hat's off to Dan Choi for taking these very brave steps. On a topic that shouldn't have to be fought for and against.
Right.
But the truth is, and the fact is, it is happening. And Dan Choi, best of luck to you and all of my support. Just, get her done.
Get her done. Hey, folks, we are heading into the month of August before you know it. And coming up is the fantastic Market Days festival that happens in the heart of Boys Town. That's happening the first weekend in August, and there's going to be lots of excitement there and people coming to Chicago. And, you know, the summer just really is heating up. Lots of Sondheim and Patti LuPone happening at Ravinia, and all the other shows that we were telling you about. I got to go see a really exciting new project up at Northwestern University. They have this new arm of the American Music Theater project where they develop new musicals. And if you've not had the opportunity to check out Not Wanted on the Voyage, first of all, really exciting new piece of musical theater. And secondly, the talent of these young Northwestern students is just extraordinary. Blows me away. But it does seem that summer has begun with Mad Men new episodes on television, Project Runway to start as well this week. It makes me feel better about the fact that July is almost a blur. Can you believe that, Deb?
I can't believe it. It's gone before you know it.
It is gone before you know it. So I've had one day on the beach in the whole month of July, so I may try to head another little hour or so on the beach today. And what are you looking forward to in the month of August here, Miss Pierce?
Well, I have to say, personally, I have my Girls Gone Wild Weekend Part 6, Viva La Volva.
Viva La Volva. Where are you heading this year?
Viva La Volva. We're going to a friend's cottage. We go to it every year, and then we have a theme of a crazy hat, or last year was the worst bathing suit contest. This year we're doing it all themed to Jimmy Buffett and margaritas. So I've already got my offensively Hawaiian Jimmy Buffett shirt picked out.
Uh-huh.
And so that's happening there, but also just getting things together with shooting my show a couple of days and a couple of nights a week, and then that being up and running, and then I'll be able to give everyone listening to the podcast a link. You don't have to be in Toronto to watch that cable channel. You'll be able to watch some streaming of it on the official website.
Excellent.
Yeah, very excited. So lots of those exciting developments, and of course still training for my half marathon and hoping to get through that in one piece.
Woohoo!
Yahoo!
You will. Maybe you could come down and just run half of the Chicago Marathon.
I could. Listen, that's happening 14 days before mine. So as soon as I do mine, I am not competing. I don't care how fast or how slow it takes me. I am completing. I'm not competing.
Yeah.
I'm completing. So after that, this could be just one of those things that I say I did and check off my my bucket list.
Yeah.
Or maybe I've got the bug to move on to bigger and better things. Who knows?
Who knows? Well, you know, you may be here around 10:10:10. So if you want to like hop in line and just run a little bit alongside one of them, you know.
That's true. I will be. I hope to come down to Chicago in October. Thank you very much.
There you go. Hey, Deb Pierce, enjoy the rest of your July. It's so great to have you on the Queercast again. And we'll get you on in August and cheer you a little more into this big run that you've got coming up here in the fall.
Thank you very much. And all you people listening to the podcast, have a happy and safe rest of July and early August.
What I know.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. and American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our QueerCast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueerCast.com and iTunes. The next QueerCast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City QueerCast, queer and now.